Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinz Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela.
Which is just a very extra way of saying...
A podcast!
I'm Diosa FM.
And I am Mala Muñoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, The Podcasteras Next Door, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we've been podcasting independently since 2016, and we're bringing our radiophonic novela to the My Cultura Network to continue sharing stories from the Latinx community.
Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 7.
Take us to your network!
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome back to Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala.
Happy New Year to all our locamores. We hope you had a wonderful, restful holiday season or whatever type of season you needed to have. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yes. Welcome to 2023.
Wow.
Wild.
We've been podcasting since 2016.
Dang.
Why do I forget now that it's been so long? When did we start again?
2016.
Okay.
November of 2016.
Damn.
Wow.
Yes.
We're not rookies anymore.
No, we're not.
Not at all. We're not rookies. Oh my God.
We're not rookies.
We're grown now.
We're grown, even though some of y'all are mean to us, but we'll get into that in the next episode.
It's okay. We're tough.
Not me.
We cry. When you're mean to us, we definitely talk to each other about it.
Yeah, we process together. So just know that if you're mean to one of us, the other one knows because we process it together.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny because sometimes you guys are mean to us and it's like really funny. Like we laugh and we laugh and we laugh. Like I can't lie. Okay. Like last year, in spite of it all, we did a lot of in-person events. Like we did our Locatora Live at the top of the year. Mm-hmm. What, in February, March?
March.
We did it.
Yeah.
In March, I did a bunch of like jokes and tokes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're smoking cannabis and we're doing stand-up comedy. So it's smoking and laughing, right? Like we're throwing bebesota parties. There's dancing. There's DJs. And we had, there was this one DM where this person like DM'd me and was like, I thought you guys cared about brown lives. Like people are dying from COVID. Why don't you require masks at your events? And he also was like, take it up with the CDC, honey.
Okay, I definitely did not say that, but yes, no.
I seem to recall, well, to me, you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the thing is, like, you know, because the CDC doesn't care or LA Public Health doesn't care, like, venues are not enforcing mask wearing anymore. You can wear a mask. I choose to wear a mask when I'm in public still. I do not care. Even, like, if I'm at an event, I'm going to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And so, like,
we took flights recently. Yeah. We wore masks. We were in airports. We wore masks.
We're as responsible as we can be given the hellfire that is the pandemic that we're still in. But yeah, I just think, you know, people can, like, be really mean to women and don't say anything when, like, these fools are throwing parties and shit and they're doing what they want.
Never.
You know,
never
of course I care about brown lives. Are you insane? Like,
are you nuts?
What?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
But anytime a venue has ever required masks, yeah, let's do masks. Mm-hmm. Anytime the city, state, or federal government have required masks, mm-hmm. yeah, let's do masks.
Well, even at Locatora Live in 2022, the venue, because it was March 2022, was still requiring proof of vaccination to enter, you know. And for me, like, I felt really comfortable having a party, having an event, mm-hmm. given that circumstance. We mm-hmm. also had listeners that commented, oh, damn, that's whack. They require proof of vax.
Not going.
Okay, that's fine. Choose not to come, right? And so there's just these two different realities happening for lots of people. And I think we're doing the best that we can as organizers of things.
And everyone's being mean to us for different reasons. Why don't you require masks? Ew, you require masks? Fuck you. We can't win.
You can't win them all, girl.
Gotta do it. Pick it up with the CDC. We don't make the rules.
I know. I wish we made the rules. We'd be in a better shape.
It's true. If the USA made all the rules in the world, like, we would be doing really well.
It's
like,
true,
everything
honestly.
Would be running. Like,
yeah, it's
I
true,
nominate
y'all.
The USA Empress of the Universe.
Yeah, it's true.
Help us.
Yeah, it's true. We'd be in better shape, y'all. We really would be.
Yosa, tell them how many miles you ran this morning alone, just this morning. Tell them.
I ran 12 miles today.
Just today.
Just today on this lovely Tuesday. And I'm feeling it. I'm sore. I got to ice my knees because I'm almost 30. So going to be doing that later today.
But you see, she powered through. She perseveres.
I persevere.
To bring the podcast to the masses.
For all of you. So don't be mean to me.
For the public.
Anyway.
It's been 2022 was a good year. It was a lovely year. I think that we, like, got a lot done. We accomplished many things.
We did.
Had a good time.
Yeah. I love, like, I consider the new year, like, your individual new year is on your birth date, right? But I love, like, the calendar year because it does feel like a universal reset where folks, like, come in, not everybody, right? But a lot of folks come in like, okay, it's a new year. Like, I'm going to set my goals. This is what I'm leaving behind. This is what I'm taking with me. And I love that. I love that kind of just collective energy of, like, we're stepping on the right foot. Everyone's super hopeful, bright-eyed in January, and then the rest of the year happens and life happens and it's terrible. But, like, that moment in January is lovely. You're starting your fresh planner. You got your new calendar up. You got your little stickers going, your journal, your goals.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous time. My virginity resets every new year. Clean slate.
Your birthday's also in January.
Oh, yeah.
A Capricorn baby.
It is in January. I am a Capricorn baby. I did, like, a birth chart reading with Julia Loken not too long ago, and she kind of, like, illuminated something for me, which I had never considered, but it tracks so hard. Like, winter babies, you know, December, January, February, like, it just in, like, the dead of winter, and it's so cold, and, like, you have all these holidays and things competing. It makes birthday celebrations very, like, dour, cold, exhausting affairs. Like, when you're December, January, February. And so I was like, yeah, that really actually tracks for me because
that does.
It always feels like such a effing drag. Like, We just got through
the holidays.
The holidays. You know, that took a lot out of me. And now you want me to celebrate myself and like arrange a fun time for all my loved ones.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like we need to wait for the harvest season. You know, the frost has to break. We need.
Oh, the springtime. That's true. Because you really haven't done a birthday. I mean, pandemic alone or pandemic aside, you haven't really done a birthday in a while.
No. Well, when I.
When you turned 30.
30.
Yeah.
We did do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to. Okay. Marcela Arguello.
Previous guest of Locatora Radio.
Yeah, we're going to have her on again because she has her hour, her special coming out. So we definitely have to have her on. But she had a show. The name has changed and the night has changed. It's now just called Woman Crush and it's on Saturdays. But she had a show called Women Crush Wednesdays at the Hollywood Improv. So me and 15 of my closest friends and my mom, we went and we saw her show. So good, so funny. Loved it. And then we went to the Surly Goat for karaoke afterwards. And it was so fun because Marcella and a couple of the comics came with us to the Surly Goat and karaoke'd, and Diosa brought really cute axolotl cupcakes. They were adorable. And so that was my last birthday celebration.
Well, and yeah, we have to start planning this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I think is going to happen, is my birthday lands on a Thursday night, and that's Chatterbox open mic. So I'm probably going to go to the Chatterbox and I might just send out like a mass message to friends like, let's have a dive bar birthday, come through for the open mic or just come through for drinks afterwards. I'm going to treat myself to an Uber to Covina and really splurge.
I'm and dead.
That might be it.
I'm dead. I'll take you to a fancy dinner the next day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling, and it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But in other news, y'all, we wanted to dive in to some happenings pop culture wise, news wise, and just really break down some current events that are happening. It's like pop culture because it's celebrity, but it's like really affecting real life people. So we're going to talk about that today. Mala, let's cue it up.
We want to draw a connection to Amber Heard and Megan Thee Stallion. And we want to basically expand upon a tweet that I saw on Twitter that kind of like ignited like this episode for us. So tech culture reporter for NBC News, Kate Tenbarge, made a comparison between social media chatter and the spread of misinformation during the Amber Heard Johnny Depp defamation trial and similarities that she's seeing to similar chatter and spread of misinformation during the Tory Lanez criminal trial, in which Megan Thee Stallion was a victim. Tory Lanez shot Megan in the foot. And here is Kat, again, tech reporter for NBC News. Here's her tweet. I'm seeing parallels between Tory Lanez's trial and Depp Heard. Bloggers, content creators reporting inaccurate and or biased information from court. Distractions weaponizing Megan's sexuality. People saying, quote, they're both bad, even though Megan isn't on trial in this case. So that tweet, I sent it to Diosa and I'm like, we're seeing this, right? Like, this is a thing that we're seeing. Her tweet put it together very succinctly. So we mentioned Depp Heard in a past episode of Locatora Radio, but today we're going to expand a little bit more. So for a little bit of background information, this summer, very public defamation trial, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, there was a lot of content on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram, very, very nasty stuff. Also in person at the courthouse, like people creating really nasty content about and around Amber Heard, both online and then in person, like treating her very badly outside of the courthouse. And Amber Heard actually recently released a statement that Diosa is going to share with us. Essentially, in the court of public opinion, Amber Heard lost, became the villain in this situation, and as a result of the trial, was ordered to pay Johnny Depp whatever sum of $10 million or something.
Yeah. So yeah, in the court of public opinion, right, Heard lost, and she wasn't on trial. Like, what I found really interesting about this case and really sad was that she wasn't on trial to prove that he abused her, right? It was specifically a defamation trial. And I think that that's what people forget or don't know the difference or don't care. And we're spreading a lot of misinformation, which I think is why a lot of things got warped via social media. And so a couple months post-trial, she has decided, Amber Heard has decided to settle in the defamation case against her ex-husband, Johnny Depp, in Virginia. And so she says, it's important for me to say that I never chose this. I defended my truth, and in doing so, my life as I knew it was destroyed. The vilification I have faced on social media is an amplified version of the ways in which women are re-victimized when they come forward. Now I finally have an opportunity to emancipate myself from something I attempted to leave over 6 years ago and on terms I can agree to. I have made no admission. This is not an act of concession. There are no restrictions or gags with respect to my voice moving forward. I make the decision having lost faith in the American legal system, where my unprotected testimony served as entertainment and social media fodder. And it continues, so I encourage you all to go read it. But even folks in our circle that I respect and I admire were very much following this case as entertainment and were tweeting things as if they knew what they were talking about. And I publicly didn't engage with this case, with this trial, because I didn't think it was funny or entertaining. I didn't think it was anything that I should be giving my two cents about. I was observing a lot of the time and knew that when the time was right, we were going to make an episode about this, because we saw a lot happen during the trial. And you, Mala, like, with your years and background, like, have your own perspective as you were watching this.
Yeah, it was wild too, because like you're saying, people that we know in person, but then also online, the trend at the moment was Amber Heard is a bad lady. You know, there was this one tweet by this one distinguished Latino journalist who is very heavily platformed that I sent to you, because I'm like, what the F is going on? And when he tweeted at the time this summer around Depp Heard, he was like, believe all women except Amber Heard. And like you're saying, defamation trial, right? Because Amber Heard wrote like an op-ed about domestic violence in general. And she referred to herself as like a survivor, a voice for survivors. He was suing her for defamation over that article.
Yeah, where she that, she doesn't mention his name either.
She doesn't mention his name in the article. She does not say that he is an abuser, that he abused her. She was self-referencing and talking about herself. And a Virginia jury found Amber Heard liable for defamation and ordered her to award him $10 million. They also found Depp liable for defaming Amber Heard, but they only required him to pay her $2 million. They were both found responsible for defamation, not just her. And I also think it's important to point out that these two have been in litigation and in court for many years, not just this year. And previously in the United Kingdom, Johnny Depp was found responsible by a UK court, and they don't really, I don't think in their cases they use the language of guilt, but of responsibility, that they like found him responsible for like what, 10 out of 12 accusations of domestic violence that were brought before the court. It has sort of already been established in a court of law that he did in fact abuse Amber Heard, just not here in the United States. So we have these journalists, we have these very influential content creators with large followings making like really inaccurate and salacious and misogynist content that is getting viewed and reshared millions of times across platforms and stoking a lot of like hatred towards this woman who, in the context of this defamation trial, like she's not being prosecuted for a crime.
Right.
You know? And so what is the deal? So that brings us now that, and that wasn't that long ago. That was just this summer.
Of 2022. Yeah.
Of 2022. This last summer. That brings us now to Megan Thee Stallion, Tory Lanez. So as a refresher, Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion. And there were witnesses, her best friend Kelsey, they were in like a neighborhood. There were neighbors who saw, the police were called. And she eventually went on her Instagram Live, Megan Thee Stallion, to just very straight up talk about it. Tory Lanez shot me in my feet. I had to have surgery done, you know? Now, at the time that we are recording this episode, they're in the midst of the Los Angeles district attorney has brought charges, criminal charges against Tory Lanez. So he is on trial for having shot Megan Thee Stallion. She is a witness, right? Because she's the victim in this case. And what's interesting is there seems to be a very basic lack of understanding of just even how things like court and criminal charges work. She's not suing Tory Lanez. She is not on trial. You know, the people of the state of California, it's the people versus Tory Lanez, or whatever his legal actual name is, because that's his stage name.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma. Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree again. Like the way we are lacking as a society critical thinking and just overall education about our own legal system, I think is very telling and very apparent in these both cases, because there's this assumption that Megan Thee Stallion decided to press charges against Tory Lanez. So there's all this like rhetoric happening around that, when that's not the case, as Mala just said. It's the state of California versus mm-hmm. Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
You know, his given name, right? And so mm-hmm. there is that disconnect there as well, where people don't really know how this works, they feel. Because once something reaches a certain caliber, like it's out of your hands.
Yeah.
Like, it's not up to you if you're going to charge this person anymore. It's the state deciding, like a district attorney deciding mm-hmm. what's happening with this case. Yeah.
Quite often victims don't want, you know, quote, don't want to like press charges or pursue legal action or testify in court. Like most victims of violence want to be left alone, you know, like, and like you said, it's sometimes out of a person's hands. The evidence is there. A crime was clearly committed. The police have taken a report. That report gets followed up by a detective. That detective sends those findings to the district attorney's office. The district attorney makes a determination of whether or not charges are going to be filed, sometimes without the participation of a victim or witness at all. None of those things are required for, you know, criminal charges to be brought against someone. Here, I think that there's an abundance of evidence. You know, there's, again, witnesses, there's doctors and surgeons, because there was bodily harm done to Megan. And there's text messages. There's all kinds of things, right, that like seem to substantiate. And the other part of what's interesting here is like the way that we're getting a lot of this information is obviously on Twitter. And there's a mix of things going on. You have like bloggers and like content creators who are going to court, and like, I don't know if they're going every day. I don't know if they're staying the whole day. I don't know what kind of research or background they have. These things are important.
Right.
You can't just go to one day mm-hmm. of like a 6-week trial and just tweet out the things that you happen to hear.
Right.
You don't know what any of that stuff means. I don't know if like if you ever sat through a day in court and you're like listening to a judge talk, you can't understand. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because it's all legal jargon. But you have content creators and bloggers who are going to court and who are like, quote, reporting on what's happening there. So the inevitable result is the spread of misinformation, decontextualized information, paraphrasing of things, mm-hmm. which in a legal situation, it doesn't translate. You can't like paraphrase like court procedure and stuff like for Twitter, you know? So I think it's like in these spaces where you get like all this spread of misinfo. Megan Thee Stallion has talked about this herself, about misogynoir and like right. Black women not being protected. You know, she's done interviews and she's gone like on TV and on the record, and she spoke with Gayle King about what she's been experiencing. And I think that there's also maybe where maybe traditional news journalism is not covering this case, you have bloggers and influencers like doing it instead. We also have folks like Kat Tenbarge, who I quoted earlier, her tweet, right? There are other journalists who are out there, but do they have the big, huge social media platforms? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's such a weird, for me at least, right? I feel like really confused, and it's very, just very confusing, to be frank, that on the one hand, I'm advocating for indie journalists, you know, report, do what you need to do to like get the story out, right? But then on the other hand, you have content creators that are just doing things for views, for engagement, mm-hmm. and they're spreading misinformation. And social media has really given everyone that platform to do that. And so it's like finding the right type of journalist or, you know, an influencer that actually knows what they're talking about and not just following and listening to some random account that maybe went to one trial or maybe is just regurgitating what they read or saw from an actual journalist and skewing it.
Journalism that takes place like in a traditional newsroom, we know that there are like standards.
Yes.
And there's checks and balances, and there are editors, and there are fact checkers, and there are levels and layers, and there's like expectations, and like, you know, there's journalistic standards, and there's ethics, and there's some training. Like, we know that, or we can hope and assume, right, that if someone is working for like NPR or the New York Times or other types of like legacy journalism, that there are likely those things in place, mm-hmm. that strain out misinformation or that get us as close to like some version of the truth as we could possibly hope to get, right? But it took like decades to develop those skills and those practices and those standards and that infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right. Like journalism didn't just pop out of nowhere. Like it had to be developed like over generations, over time, right, to what it is now. And I think that one of the problems with, you know, indie content creators is none of those things are in place. Mm-hmm. You just have solo people learning solo. Where is the checks and balances? Where is the editor? Where's the fact checker? Mm-hmm. Where are your resources? Journalists have access to archives, mm-hmm. and to information, you know, that lay people don't always have access to.
Or know how to access, yeah.
Or know how to access, right? I mean, there are things that like cost money to access. And if you work for a paper, that paper likely has the funds to help cover the costs of your investigations and your research, what have you. We interviewed Cerise, you know, there's like issues with safety, like there's all kinds of things, right? And if you're like a content creator, what is the likelihood that all of those things are in place?
Right.
Very low, mm-hmm. right? And if it's like a content creator, like who is like reporting, like how do we know, mm-hmm. what their ethics or standards or values are, or their process,
yeah.
of investigating or researching or doing fact checking?
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
I think that therein lies the problem is like, I think that the motivation can be there, like to do good, but it becomes like a case by case, person by person, account by count. Can we trust them?
Absolutely.
Are they doing all these things? Yeah. You know?
No, and I think that we should do that. Like, we should be holding the content creators or influencers to, I mean, if you're going to be doing the type of if you're going to be doing journalism, because that's what it is, right? You have to do it well. And so if you're informing people, there has to be, I think, ethics there. And I think that that's another conversation. But yeah, I think that going back to the case of Megan Thee Stallion, you know, obviously she's a Black woman and her sexuality, her image has been used against her in this case. And going back to what Mala said about misogynoir, I think that that is another reason why the content creators, the TikTokers are also doing what they're doing, you know, and there's a lot of vitriol just being spewed at Megan when like the facts are there, like there's evidence, like this to me like seems like a cut and dry case. This is clear, you know, but yeah. Then there's still like opinions being had.
It's interesting too, because there's also another broad but like specific conversation about like just women in music and just across the industry, women being treated very brutally, from Megan to Kesha to Tina Turner, you know, even like in Selena, the movie, you know, they didn't want to pay her because she's just a woman, right? Jenny Rivera suffered greatly her whole life, basically.
Yeah.
And there's just that element there with all of this as well that Megan herself has also talked about. Like, it's like a good old boys club.
Yeah.
And the men look out for each other. Mm-hmm. And at the same thing that happened with R. Kelly, where once he was actually arrested and tried and convicted, the way his streaming numbers went up,
yep,
and soared, and the way people came out of the woodwork, men, male artists, mm-hmm, but women too, honestly.
Yeah.
A lot of women came out of the woodwork to very vocally and firmly, you know, state their support of him. Even though, like, you know, the crimes that he committed are really horrific and vile, didn't matter. And in this case, it's like Tory Lanez had like one, two songs a few years ago that did well on the radio and stuff and were like summer bangers. But he's not like a superstar he's not like a legendary talent. Like, that's just like, he's not like some huge star, but right, all of a sudden it seems like he has this really, really, really big fan base,
right,
with all the support for him.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's not so much support for him as it is hatred for Megan.
Yes, people hate her. She's
openly
so talented, confident, at least comes off as confident, right? We don't know how people actually feel, but like, she's talented. She's accomplished. She is an amazing dancer, rapper. I mean, women rappers in general are hated. But Megan, yeah, is like so goddamn talented and is so young. Got her degree, right, while she was building her little empire. Mm-hmm. And people, mm-hmm, hate her. Like, they hate how successful she is. Men and, mm-hmm, women, all folks hate her. And this is just blown up because of the case. Where she, like you said, Mala, she's not on trial. She's not the one on trial.
She did not do anything wrong.
And then we have folks like another rapper, like Drake, mm-hmm, talking about her in one of his songs. And, mm-hmm, again, like making the connection back to R. Kelly, where like folks came out to support him. Again, like, even if he's not like in this lyric supporting Tory, he is, because he's like shitting on Megan and talking, mm-hmm, shit. And again, folks hate her. And because she's a Black woman, she's not protected. She's vulnerable. And she lost her family. Like, she's quite literally alone in this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And with a very small, I'm assuming, trusted circle now, right? Because of this.
Yeah.
And so protect her at all costs. That's it.
It's wild. I mean, there's just like something in this world about, like, once a woman has already been made a victim of violence, it's like this green light for people to pile on more. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, we're already hurting her, so let's keep it going, kind of a thing. Like, I've been following a couple for another project, right? On Twitter, there are a couple of mothers who are mothers of school shooting victims. A Sandy Hook mother and an Uvalde mother, who I won't name them specifically, but I've been following them. They're very, 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 very vocal and very active. And something that both of them just in their, and they tweet like every day, you know, because they're really tweeting through it.
Yeah,
you know,
through the grief.
Through the grief. So this connection, like, that I'm making between them, between Megan, between Amber, like, these women, it's the notion of kicking someone when they're down, mm-hmm. like victims of violence. They've lost their kids. They've been shot, you know, whatever it is that has happened to these women. It's horrible. It's violent. That has not afforded the Uvalde parents or Sandy Hook parents any grace or empathy from people. Like, as we know, Alex Jones has been horrific, nasty, terrorizing Sandy Hook families. Tons of like conspiracy theorists,
yeah,
threats of violence, stalking, like directed towards the Sandy Hook parents in the years mm-hmm. since, because it's been years now since Sandy Hook, like those families experienced violence and then people piled on and added more. Mm-hmm. Same with Uvalde, like they have been experiencing a lot of violence and threats from, like, of course, local police and local government. And then now you have like a Megan Thee Stallion, you know, dealing with the court system in the public eye, victim of violence, and folks are piling it on. So it's just like this wild thing where it really just reminds us, this is why women don't come forward. This yeah. is why victims, this is literally why, because who is helped? Who's being helped here?
Right. I mean, there's like the literal, there's like the court of law, there's that angle of it, and then the public court of opinion, right? And mm-hmm. so on both mm-hmm. sides, both Amber Heard and Meg Thee Stallion in some ways have lost. You know, I think Meg Thee Stallion, the case is still going. She has lots of fans and lots of people supporting her, but just as many supporters, she has lots of folks that don't believe her, that say she's lying, say it's not true, that hate her, literally. Mm-hmm. And then we have someone like Amber Heard, same, people hate her. They don't believe anything that she said.
Right, 100%. And it's like, oh my God, like and there's this indignity too of like, and she needs to pay him $10 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, and she literally has to give him $10 million.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is, like, Johnny Depp will be fine. Like, whereas Amber Heard, like, she had already, you know, in this trial had claimed that her role in Aquaman 2 had been significantly cut down. She's having trouble getting work. Like, this is the result, right? And the domino yeah. effect of victims coming forward, of survivors telling their story, where in her case, she didn't even name her abuser. And in this case, right, Meg Thee Stallion is doing amazing. Tory Lanez clearly has people caping for him, and that he's like more popular now.
Yeah. And maybe this is a conspiracy theory, but I don't think it is. We work in social media. We're in podcasting. We do media stuff, right? Brands and folks like reach out or used to reach out before our network deal. It's different now, but brands and folks used to reach out all the time, right? To do collabs, to do like interviews, and like the rates out there to do like a paid post or a paid tweet or like a sponsored interview. Like, people like put a lot of money into this stuff, into social media stuff, into content online, whether it's a TikTok, a tweet, an Instagram post. Johnny Depp is literally a franchise star, like Disney, like literally Pirates of the Caribbean, like literally, you know, huge. I have no doubt that his camp, his team, his people, Disney paid for content creation around the trial. Influencers will partner with anybody for anything, really. And if there's a paycheck to make your content, hell yeah. You know, we have said no to gigs in the past over the years, tons of gigs we've said no to because they're not right for us or because they don't align with what we're doing.
We have ethics, but, y'all.
Yeah. But again, not everybody does.
Yeah.
Not everybody. I would not doubt it if Tory Lanez and his people or his friends and supporters have paid content creators to also cover.
Right.
For him.
I mean, and adding to that, not necessarily even paid, but just like bots, like, or just fake accounts where, you know, they're adding to the quote discourse in support of him. And it's like the same person. So, I hear you. It's like maybe a conspiracy, but also maybe not, because it makes sense. And anything is possible, as we see via Twitter and the downfall and everything that's going on. So, yeah, a lot.
Wild stuff. Just check your sources, everybody. You can still read the newspaper.
Yes.
You really can. You can still watch like cable news, you know, like you can still listen to like public radio and hear from vetted, trained journalists.
Yes.
To at least give you something to compare.
You round it out.
Your
like,
feed.
Yes.
You know?
You got to round out the resource, the news coverage is what I've learned. And what
it's
I
so
think
important.
We should all do. Yes.
It's so important. So thanks for tuning into Locatora Radio. We can't be your only news source.
We're not a news source.
And I think that's important. Content creators, if you're not a news source, say that.
Yeah.
You're commenting.
Yeah.
You're analyzing. You're critiquing. You're discussing. But are you reporting?
Yes.
These are words mean things. And we can be precise and specific.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I don't think that we're content creators per se. I think we kind of fall under that a little bit with like the social media stuff. But as on the podcaster end, right, we cite our sources.
Yes.
We read lots of articles in preparations for episodes. We shout out the journalists that were referencing in the news articles or the tweet. And so even at the that is the bare minimum. If you're making content and you're referencing other people's work or thoughts, the bare minimum is to cite your sources. And so encourage anyone that's doing that or wants to get into content creation, stepping into that lane, like cite your sources. Please lead with ethics. Think about what ethics means for you. Like that's my two cents.
Yeah. And a source is not another content creator.
Yes, y'all. I'm in journalism school. Okay, so
yes.
Listen to me.
Yes.
All right, y'all. We know this was a heavy episode, so please take care of yourself. Check in with your friends. Check in with your loved ones. Let us know what you think of this episode, and we'll catch you next time. Locatora Radio is a production of Locatora Productions in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network.
For more podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Besitos! Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Femme. your network.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.